Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
We're going to get straight into the Word because there's something important God wants to do here this morning. Anybody say amen to that? Amen. 2 weeks ago, I spoke about the cross, the heart of the gospel, and I began by saying that I spoke to you as a servant of God, a slave of Jesus Christ, called to proclaim the gospel of truth. This morning, I'm speaking to you as someone who is nobody and can do nothing. And it's important, therefore, that I begin with a little bit of testimony, because I want you to understand that what I'm talking to you about this morning is not theory, but it's the life of God that is lived out in practice. Naturally, I was a very shy, retiring, fearful person. When I was ordained at the age of 23 in 1963, I was ordained as an Anglican and wore one of those long black cassocks, and in the fold there, in the cassock, there is a pen pocket just about over your heart. And I wrote out the text that I put in that pen pocket on at the time of my ordination: God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That was the scripture I needed that day. Throughout the early years of my ministry, and really ever since too, I was always filled with such a sense of responsibility before God for whatever I did or said as a minister, that I was always fearful of making a mistake. I never wanted to say anything that was wrong, to preach anything that wasn't true, to do anything that wasn't really right in God's eyes. I suppose it's not that I was exactly self-analytical, but it was my constant prayer, my constant fear, really, prayer out of that fear that I must not get anything wrong. And yet, as I look back, I can see a remarkable number of things that God has done. From the outside, it appears what I have done. But I, above all else, and all others, know it's not what I did, but it's what He did. I saw my first miracle when someone was healed of terminal cancer when I was 23 and had only been ordained a short time. Never known of anybody to be healed before. I saw God take over my preaching and for Him to speak through me in a way that I didn't know was possible, instead of just preparing sermons. At the age of 30, I led an Anglican church into a revival that was one of the really significant things in changing the state of the church in this nation. God led me out from there, place where people came from all over the world to see what God was doing, to travel all over the world and to take the message of the gospel to the nations. I've preached in major international conferences all over the world. For what it's worth, I've spoken in cathedrals all over this country and in every continent of the world, at major prayer festivals, which used to be held in these big buildings packed not with a normal cathedral congregation, but with thousands of praising people. I've preached to a packed Albert Hall, thousands of people. I was the main speaker at a national rally in Trafalgar Square, preaching to tens of thousands of people in the open air. I've led a community of people that met with God, experienced a revival of holiness, caused that place where we were living to become a name that was known all over the world. Living in such a relationship with God that I didn't know was possible in this life on this earth, where we lost all desire to sin, where when we went out in ministry, we saw thousands of people getting saved, meeting with God, getting delivered and healed without anybody praying for them or ministering to them. Over the years, I must have seen tens, probably hundreds of thousands of people saved, filled with the Spirit, healed. I've written well over 40 books, 25 major books, and all the Truth series and other smaller books. 20 years ago, there were 1.5 million of my books in print. I don't know how many there are now, perhaps two, nearer 3 million. And I'm still the same weak, fearful person who is always afraid of getting anything wrong or of saying anything that will not glorify God or that will be outside of His will. Jonathan read just now that scripture, that anyone who boasts, boast in the Lord. Am I boasting? No. Because I know that I did not do any of that stuff. That all that is the work of God's Spirit. But if God can take a weak and fearful person who knows that he's nobody and can do nothing and do that kind of thing with him, what can God do with you? Because all that was only possible because the Spirit that lived in Christ came to live in me. But then the Spirit that lived in Christ came to live in you. And you have the same Spirit that I have. So I've seen all this happen and a whole lot more. Wonderful miracles, wonderful provision, tremendous healings. But it's all the work of the Holy Spirit. So let's talk for a few minutes, not about me, but about the Holy Spirit. Because it's not I, but Christ. The Spirit of Christ. And you see, it's always difficult for me because, you know, a lot of people know that God has done stuff in my life. And they think, therefore, that I'm different from everybody else, but I'm not inwardly. You could ask my wife. You can ask the people that work close to me. They know I'm the weak, fearful, ordinary bloke that I am, with absolutely no pretensions of being anything other than that. And you see, this is the whole point. That if we know who we are in the natural, but we also know what we can do in the spirit, then God is going to overcome the natural, because his spirit is so much more powerful than our natural. So even when you're weak and fearful in yourself, God can still work through you for his glory. So let's look at what this Holy Spirit does. Not so much what he's done in me, but what he does in you, what he does in every believer. First of all, he anoints. Now, these words are going to come up on the screen for you. I haven't got any pigs falling into the river this week, but I've got some words instead. What transformed my ministry was the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That, you see, the Holy Spirit is God. God working in you and through you. Now, are you anointed with the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Have you received the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Then you see, the truth is that he is in you.
Amen.
Just say, the Holy Spirit is in me.
The Holy Spirit is in me.
He not only anoints us, but he fills us. When, you know, the anointing of really the Spirit of God coming upon people, I've seen the Spirit literally fall on thousands of people at precisely the same second. Awesome. But what is even more awesome is that God lives in everyone who has been baptized in the Holy Spirit and fills them to overflowing with the Spirit. So what I've seen God do in my life and ministry is simply the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. That when I function, something of the Spirit is going to function through me. But you also have been filled with the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit is now in you. Just say, Jesus has filled me with his Spirit. Now, in Scripture, he is the Spirit of faith. He's the Spirit who gives faith. Faith is choosing to believe what God has said and done instead of your fears, instead of your insecurities, instead of your feelings. We all have a choice. You either believe God or you believe yourself. You either believe the circumstances or you believe God. The Holy Spirit, being the Spirit of faith in every situation, encourages you to trust him. I mean, I've been in some of these big international sort of situations and been thinking to myself, what am I doing here? How on earth did I get here? Because it was nothing ever that I aspired to, planned, wanted, dreamed of. It was like God taking someone and sort of projecting him into a situation where he never felt he could be. But you see, what do you do in a situation like that? Listen to your fears, listen to your insecurities, or trust God? I mean, the bigger the situation, the more useless you feel, the greater the incentive to trust God. So that Spirit of faith is in you. Not will be, he is. He's anointed you, he filled you, the Spirit of faith is in you. Say, the Spirit of faith is in me. He is the Spirit who gives revelation and understanding of the Word of God. Because you see, the faith, our faith has to be in the Word. So we need the revelation. We need the understanding of what God is saying. He always brings to us the right word at the right time on the right occasion. And that's why, you know, it doesn't matter what situation you are in, you are never on your own, because the Spirit of God is always there, ready to give you precisely what you need. So So that same spirit of wisdom and revelation is in you. Say, the spirit of wisdom and revelation is in me. You see, you're doing well. You're speaking truth over your life this morning. Now, he is the voice of God, so he speaks to you. But he not only speaks to you, he speaks through you. So, we are able to hear the voice of God. Now, most often, the Holy Spirit directs us to the truth of God's word. He brings to us the right scripture at the right time. But with his wisdom and understanding, he is also able to explain to us or let us know why that is the word at that time. But he is the one who Jesus says will speak through us, especially when we're in situations where we don't know what to say. That in the natural, we just really are clueless. What do I do in this situation? What do I say now? I mean, over the years, the number of people that have come to me with seemingly impossible pastoral situations, and you sit and you listen to them, and you think, dear God, what on earth can I say into this? And then he gives you what to say. And you are amazed at the remarkable wisdom of it, because you know it never came from you. So say, the Spirit of God speaks to me and through me. Why? Because that same Spirit is in you as you sit there this morning. He is the Spirit who convicts of sin. You only became a Christian because, first of all, the Spirit of God convicted you of your sins so that you could turn to Him and ask for forgiveness. And when you step out of line now, He, because He lives in you, will, if you're sensitive to Him, convict you immediately of what you have done wrong so that you can put that right and come back into right order with God's purpose. But He's also the God who will work through you to convict others of sin. So that when you're talking to non-believers, they're not just going to be convinced by your arguments, but something of the Spirit will work in them to convict them of their sin and tell them their need of God. Say, the Spirit of conviction lives in me. See, that same Spirit is in you, and that same Spirit can work through you. He is therefore the Spirit of repentance. It was a work of the Spirit when you first turned to God in repentance. It's the work of the Spirit when He leads you to a fresh repentance, a fresh turning away from sin, a fresh turning away from your own will, your own desires, your own purposes, a turning back to the purposes of God. That's all the working of the Holy Spirit within you. He is the Spirit of repentance. Say, I have the Spirit of repentance in me. It's amazing, isn't it? God put all this in you when He gave you the Holy Spirit, and we've hardly started yet. He is the Spirit who gives new birth. Where did Jesus get His birth from? Mary and the Holy Spirit. Where did you get your new birth from? The Holy Spirit came and birthed new life in you. And this is why God will work through you to lead others to that new birth. The Holy Spirit of God working through you. Say, the Spirit who gives new birth is in me. Not only gives new birth to you, but will give new birth to others to whom you will witness. He is the Spirit of peace. He is the one who has enabled us to come to peace with God. He is the one who enables us to walk with Him in peace with God, in peace with others, and actually in peace with ourselves, despite our weakness, despite our fears, despite our insecurities. We can know everything is all right because God is in charge. And the Holy Spirit is the one who witnesses that peace to you. Say, the Spirit of peace is in me. Boy, God has equipped you well, hasn't He? He is the Spirit of joy. God says that we are to rejoice in him always. And I've lost count of the number of situations where I've been in that I wish I wasn't in. And yet, God, laying it on my heart, Conan, you've got to rejoice to be here. You've got to rejoice to be in this situation. No matter what is happening, no matter what demands are made of you, no matter what challenges are before you, you learn that you depend not upon your feelings as to whether you're going to rejoice or not, but upon the fact that you have the spirit of joy within you, that spirit of joy is never taken away from you, so you can obey God and you can rejoice always, no matter what the circumstances. Say, the spirit of joy is in me. Praise God. So you can listen to this message with a smile on your face. Here's the spirit of worship and how we have been blessed here at Kingdom Faith. Because we don't just worship in some academic way or traditional way, but the spirit of worship takes hold of our hearts and enables us to meet with God, enables us to go right into heavenly places with the Lord, the place that God opened up to us through the sacrifice of his Son. Say, the spirit of worship is in me. That's why you should never be late for a service here. Really, my friends, you should never, ever be late. You dishonor God in missing the opportunity to worship him. If you need to leave earlier to get your car parked and get in here on time, do that. Because the Spirit in you wants to be here to worship the Father and the Son. So, he is the Spirit who guides us into all the truth. He is the spirit of truth. This is how Jesus described him at the Last Supper, who guides us into all the truth. Even when we don't know what the right thing to do in a situation, he guides us into the truth. He brings the word to us that we need at that time. If we trust him, the Holy Spirit will not allow us to make mistakes. See, I think that was a formative thing. I was so afraid of getting anything wrong that I learned to trust so wholeheartedly in the Spirit. And I will never, ever, ever get up and speak here or even just to a small group or lecturing to the students or anything without trusting that the Holy Spirit is going to speak. As far as I'm concerned, I've never got anything to say. And I believe that that's the way that Jesus functioned. That he spoke only the words the Father gave him to speak. Say, the Spirit of truth is in me. And he guides me into all the truth. He is the Spirit who imparts wisdom. But he imparts the wisdom of God. Not human wisdom. Not reason. Reason is man's wisdom, but he imparts God's wisdom, a wisdom that is of an altogether different order. It is the wisdom of the Spirit. It is the wisdom that is Christ. Christ is our wisdom. And he is the Spirit of wisdom that gets us to focus on Jesus Christ, no matter what we're doing, what the situation, what the problems, what the needs. To fix our eyes on Jesus, because that is wisdom. Say, the Spirit of wisdom is in me. He is the Spirit that enables us to live the life of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And God has made us part of his kingdom in order that we might live the life of the kingdom. How can we live here, the life of the kingdom, without dependence upon the Holy Spirit? Jesus taught us to pray, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How can we do God's heavenly will on earth without dependence upon the Holy Spirit? No, we have the Spirit of the kingdom of God within us to enable us to live the life of the kingdom. Say, I have the Spirit of the kingdom within me. Jesus says that he is the Spirit of power. He promised the disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Why have I seen God work so often in power, knowing that I really can do absolutely nothing? Simply because the Spirit of God has been given freedom to work. That's the thing that I found, you see, in the early years of my ministry, having been brought up in a denominational setting, now I had to discover how the Spirit of God could be allowed to move in freedom. That's what transformed the church where I was pastor of then. That is what has enabled everything, the power of God. But that power that was in Jesus has been in me and is in you and is in every born again and spirit-filled believer. So say, the Spirit of power is in me. Why do you think God has put all this in you? Just so that you can say these things, or so that all these things can be expressed through your life. You see, when I got up in the very early hours of the morning, I've been filled in, had such revelation. We are moving. It's such an anointing every day at Rafi. It's awesome at present. It's absolutely, totally awesome. And you know, I'm filled with so much stuff. I said to some people at the wedding reception yesterday, it's not what to preach tomorrow, but what not to preach. I've just got so much stuff. And then, you know, God gets me up in the middle of the night and he says, I don't want you to preach any of that. I want you to preach about my Holy Spirit in this way. And I didn't do a word study about all this. The Lord just spoke all this to me. Said, this is what I've done in your life. This is what is in every other believer in Kingdom Faith. And this is what I want to see expressed in all of your lives. So he is the Spirit of power. And this is God's power. This is the almighty power. This is the same power that brought creation into being. This is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Say, the Spirit of power is in me.
The Spirit of power is in me.
He is therefore the Spirit of resurrection. Because this is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. I have, by the grace of God, seen the dead raised. God told me right then in 1963 when I began my ministry, I'd just done a theological course at university. And he said to me, man has taught you to disbelieve the word. Now I'm going to teach you to believe it. Because I studied modern liberal theology. And if you don't know what that is, you're blessed. And then God said to me, whatever you believe in this book, referring, of course, to the scriptures, whatever you believe in this book, you will see. So I assumed he meant I was to believe all of it and then I would see all of it. That he wasn't talking about a selective thing. So I just sort of naively believed all of it and believed, okay, well, I will see the dead raised. So by the grace of God, we've seen that. Say, the Spirit of resurrection is in me.
The Spirit of resurrection is in me.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You never know when you will see that Spirit operating through your life. You see, when God raises the dead, it's no more difficult for him than healing a cold. And actually, it's no more difficult for you. Why? Because you didn't heal the cold and you didn't raise the dead. It was simply the work of the Spirit. You just did whatever he told you to do and he did the rest. He is the Spirit of hope for the future, that he will enable the fulfillment of everything that God has said, of everything that God has promised. He is the Spirit that, well, if you trust him, you won't get depressed. You won't get overwhelmed by the circumstances, because you know that in all things he's working for your good. You know that he is the one who will enable the fulfillment of everything that God has promised. So say, the Spirit of hope is living in me. He is the Spirit who overcomes. He is the risen, victorious Spirit of Christ. He is the spirit that was in Jesus when he overcame the devil on the cross, when he overcame the demons that were cast out, when he overcame death itself, when he overcame sin and broke the power of sin on the cross. Say, the spirit of the overcomer is in me. What does that make you? Ah, oh, you're quick. Hallelujah. He is the spirit of prayer. The scripture says we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the spirit prays. Prays in us and for us and through us. If you ever think to yourself, well, I'm not very good at praying, try trusting in the spirit of prayer. Try trusting in the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm no good at this. And he actually will rejoice in that admission. And then he says, okay, come on, trust me, and I will pray in you, and I will pray through you. Say, the spirit of prayer is in me. He is the spirit of righteousness. He is the one who has enabled us to come into righteousness, for Christ is our righteousness. He is the one who enables us, therefore, to depend upon Christ to be our righteousness and not to think that we will ever have any righteousness of our own. I don't have any righteousness of my own, and I don't need a righteousness of my own if Christ is my righteousness, because I can't improve on the righteousness of Christ. And the Holy Spirit, therefore, is the spirit of righteousness who constantly reminds me to depend upon the righteousness of Christ and not to seek a righteousness of my own. Say, the spirit of righteousness is in me. He is the spirit of sonship. By the Holy Spirit, we are made sons of God. Hallelujah. We are made co-heirs with Christ. We are yes, servants, yes, slaves still, and yet sons with such a rich inheritance. And you see, it was that revelation that really changed my ministry, because it was in 1970, just before I began my ministry in Luton, that God really brought to my heart this revelation, you are a son of God. And I realized then I never needed to minister as an Anglican priest again. And now I could minister like a son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because the spirit of sonship was in me. Say, the spirit of sonship is in me. That's why you are a son of God. Hallelujah. He is the spirit of life. Jesus said that he came to give life and to give it in all its fullness. And if you have the Holy Spirit in you, then you have the life of Christ in all its fullness. This is not a dream. This is not something that you're waiting to attain. This is not a high spiritual state that you want to achieve or that you're working towards. This is what God has already done. Say, the Spirit of life is in me. He is the Spirit of God who leads us. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, the scripture says. So he leads us into the truth, but he also leads us into the fulfillment of the will and the purpose of God. Amen. We will never find our way through life without the Holy Spirit. We will never find our way into the fulfillment of what God intends and desires for us without dependence upon his Spirit. So say, the Spirit who leads me is in me. You see, the Spirit is willing to lead you day by day. All you have to do is to learn to depend on him and not depend on yourself. Dependence on self is the death blow to dependence on the Spirit. It can't be both. That's why you're greatly privileged if you're like me and you know and you understand that you're nothing and you can do nothing. That just encourages dependence upon him. He is a spirit of holiness. Oh boy, here we go. I mean, you know, we think holiness is some great exalted state that we will never attain. But the point is that he is the Holy Spirit. He is the spirit of holiness, and that spirit is in you. Say, the Spirit of holiness is in me. That means you can live a holy life. And the scripture says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Holiness isn't an option. This is why God has given you the Holy Spirit. And holiness is not something negative. It's something positive. It's reproducing the life of Jesus Christ in you, because he is the one who lived the holy life here on earth. It's the Spirit that enables us to be like Jesus. And the scripture says, whoever claims to live in him, whoever claims to be a Christian, must walk as Jesus did. Say, the Spirit of holiness is in me. Oh, you didn't say that with quite so much conviction. I think you need to say it again. The Spirit of holiness is in me. He is the Spirit of unity. The devil wants to divide. The devil wants to divide people in the church, divide party factions, get people full of jealousy, get them at each other's throat, get them criticizing, judging each other. But the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of unity. He is the one that will keep God's people walking together in unity. And that is essential. It's essential for every believer to be in unity with God, yes, but in unity also with their fellow believers, so that together we can fulfill the Spirit's purpose. Say, the Spirit of unity is in me. He is the Spirit that bears fruit. I'm sorry we have to go so fast, but otherwise we'll be here till tea time. He is the Spirit that bears fruit. You know, Jesus said, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. How are you going to bear that fruit? Well, by abiding in the vine. But what does abiding in the vine of Jesus do? It enables the sap of the Holy Spirit to flow through the vine, through your branch, produce the fruit. All this fruit is the fruit of the Holy Spirit's activity within you. So say, the Spirit of fruit bearing is in me. Praise God. Isn't this good? Therefore, the Spirit of patience is in you. Now, you see, I mean, some of you might think you're hot-tempered and you're this and you're that and you're the other. But let me tell you, you always have the Spirit of patience in you. And it depends whether you're going to react with the flesh or whether you're going to react with the Spirit. If you react with the flesh, you'll lose your temper. If you react with the Spirit, you will be patient. You see, it's not saying, oh, Lord, give me patience. He says, I have. It's there within you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Trust him and you will exercise that patience. Say, the Spirit of patience is in me. Sometimes God puts us in situations where we get good practice. My wife would tell you, you know, the one thing I really hated doing was queuing. Because, you know, I've lived such a busy life. My attitude was, I don't have time to queue. So it would always frustrate me if there was a long queue, you know, and you had to wait. And then one day God said to me, Colin, I am sovereign in every circumstance of your life, even when you're queuing. So why don't you pray for the other people around you? You see, the Holy Spirit always gets you to look positively at a situation. And even my wife says, I've changed. So it must be real. When your wife notices it, you can say, praise God, you've done it. Hallelujah. He is the Spirit of kindness. You see, we can reel off these fruit of the Holy Spirit, but actually what it means is the kindness of Jesus Christ is in you by the power of the Spirit. You can be kind as he is kind. You can be lots of other things that aren't kind because you've also got a flesh life, a self life. But if you learn to trust in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of kindness is going to be manifested through you. Say, the Spirit of kindness is in me. The Spirit of goodness is also in you. And, you know, no one is good except God alone. That's what Jesus said. But you see, the one who is good is in you. Therefore, his goodness can be expressed in your life. Hallelujah. Say, the Spirit of goodness is in me. Another fruit of the Holy Spirit is faithfulness. How are we going to be faithful? If we trust in ourselves, we will fail constantly and we will fail to be faithful to what God is wanting of us. But trust in the Holy Spirit enables the faithfulness of God. As I look back, have I got things wrong? Yes, sometimes. Are there things I regret? Yes, of course there are. That is true for all of us. But praise God, we're not condemned for our past. That God forgives us, God gets us back on track if ever we allow something of self to get in the way of His best purposes. Why? Because He is the God who works faithfulness in us. And I praise God for 46 years of ministry because that is the fruit of the Spirit. Not of me, but of what the Spirit has enabled. Say, the Spirit of faithfulness is in me. He is, of course, the Spirit of love. Because the Scripture says God has poured His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So this is love for God, love for others, but it's the love of God Himself that is in us. It's not our human love. It's not our ability to decide to love people to the best of our ability, but it's loving others with His ability. It's loving others with His love. It's loving the unlovely. It's loving those that you would never choose to love. And having lived many years in community, often with people that you would never choose to have anything to do with, let alone have them living with you. That is the grace of God. That is the mercy of God. But it's the work, you see, of the love of God in your heart. And then to see these people change from very unlikable people to becoming likable and even lovable people is a wonderful transforming power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. So you can be thankful that the Spirit of love in you. Say, the Spirit of God's love is in me. He is the Spirit of submission. You see, because He leads us into the will and the purpose of God, He is the one who will always enable you to submit to God, to the authority and the lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, when your flesh rises up within you and you are sort of full of yourself and your own ideas and opinions and what you want, and you know, there's that gentle voice of the Spirit. He doesn't scream at you. He doesn't shout at you. But it's there, that voice of His within you saying, submit. Submit. Submit to God. Submit to those in authority. Submit. Submit. Because it's the Word of God. But He is not just the one who tells us to do it. He is the one who enables us to submit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in complete submission to the Father and the Son. Jesus says He never speaks anything of Himself, from Himself. He only speaks what the Father or the Son gives Him to speak. The Spirit operates in complete submission to the Father and the Son. And that Spirit of submission is in you. So say, the Spirit of submission is in me. Oh, praise God. I look forward to seeing it manifested. Hallelujah. He is the Spirit of humility. You see, that's important. I mean, it's important. It's been important in my life because the more you see God do, the greater the temptation is to believe that it's because of something you have done yourself. And that's where you have to keep in that place of humility saying, no, I can't do anything. I'm still of myself nothing. I'm just nobody. It's all the work of Christ who is in us. Therefore, all the glory, all the honor, all the praise belongs to Him. But we have to stay humble. Why? Because God raises up the humble, but He pulls down the proud. And you see, when you look at what God has done with any person's life, that's only because God has raised that person up to fulfill what he or she has done. And therefore, God knows something about what goes on in the heart of that person to enable that to happen. It has to be that spirit of humility, because if pride gets in, When God begins to use people in a significant way, he will just stop using them. It's as simple as that. And every now and again you hear of people that have been used in great ways suddenly have the rug pulled from underneath their feet. What's happened? Well, perhaps sin has got in, but the sin has only got in because pride has got in. And pride has got in because they have not depended on the spirit of humility, on the spirit, the Holy Spirit, to keep them humble before God. But you see, if we depend upon that spirit of humility, then God will raise us up, not only personally, but corporately, as Kingdom Faith, to fulfill the call that he has upon Kingdom Faith. So say, the spirit of humility is in me. Mind you, you've got all this stuff in you. Isn't it amazing? He is the spirit of gentleness. When Jesus described his own heart, he said he had a humble and gentle heart. Well, the Holy Spirit has given you a new heart. This is the promise of God, that he would put a new spirit, give us a new heart, and put a new spirit within us. That's what he did when you were born again. He gave you a new heart. He gave you the heart of Christ. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, enables the heart of Christ to be reproduced in your life. And you see, at one moment, like Jesus, we can be in positions where we're having to exercise authority. Another moment, you can be in a pastoral situation where what you need is gentleness. You know, I always say your mood matches the message. Well, whatever it is you're doing, your mood matches that. Sometimes you have to be very strong with people, especially when they're being disobedient and rebellious. Sometimes very gentle because of the situation that they've been going through. But if you're depending upon the Holy Spirit will give you the right mood. In relationships as well as when you're preaching and doing things like that. So say, the spirit of gentleness is in me. So you won't hit your wife. You won't verbally abuse your children. Are you hearing me? The spirit of gentleness is in you. The spirit of self-control. Keeping that self-life where it needs to be, denied. You see, I mean, this is the story of my life. Are you being put in one situation after another where I can't possibly do what is being demanded of me? So it's only by denying yourself and saying, right, well, there's absolutely no point in depending upon myself whatsoever. My dependence has to be completely on the Lord. The trouble is, you know, sometimes when that challenge is put before Christians, they opt out and they say, no, I can't. Instead of realizing that God is offering them the opportunity for a great victory in their lives. Because it's true that you can't, but there's no can'ts in Christ. There's no can'ts in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will enable you. Say, the spirit of self-control is in me. He is the spirit who imparts gifts, or rather manifestations of the spirit that are supernatural. And of course, the spirit who lives in you is supernatural. So say, the spirit who imparts gifts is in me. He is the spirit that enables us to exercise the authority that Jesus Christ has given us. He gives us authority to do all kinds of things, to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to forgive sins. He gives us the authority to love. He gives us the authority to obey, the authority to do whatever he calls us to do. And this is God's authority. It's not human authority. It's not authoritarianism. It's not something we create for ourselves. It's something that is given with the call of God. Whatever he calls you to do, he gives you the authority to do it. And he gives you whatever authority you need to enable it. So say, the spirit of authority is in me. He is the spirit who works miracles. There's no time for me to tell you some of the miracles like the provision of the $1 million to buy Rafi, a miracle. Other kinds of miracles. I mean, we should expect the miraculous to be peppering our lives. Why? Because you have the miracle-working spirit within you. Say, I have the spirit of miracles in me. Here's the spirit of prophecy. At many of these major conferences, they would ask me always to do the last session because they just saw, I don't know, an anointing on my life. Said, Colin, you will bring the prophetic message that will send everybody out and just show what God is going to do. It was like they just recognized this sort of prophetic mantle. But it wasn't anything that I was conscious of myself. I never thought of myself as a prophet or anything silly like that. I just got on with doing whatever God wanted me to do. But you see, the spirit of prophecy is in you so that whenever you need a word from God, you can receive a word from God. And whenever you're in a situation, even if it's just talking with someone or praying with someone where you need a prophetic word, that spirit of prophecy is in you and that spirit of prophecy can work through you. Say, the spirit of prophecy is in me. He is the spirit that enables us to discern spirits. Sometimes we need to do that. Last year, Kingdom Faith came under attack from another spirit. I had a pastor from a church, another church in the south of England, come to see me a couple of weeks ago. He saw what we put on the internet about that spirit. He said that exactly the same thing happened with me in my church. His church went from 450 to 150. I tell you, God preserved us. I said, God preserved us. It's sad that a few people were lost, but to the congregation, but not very many. Compared with what I've seen happening in other places. But you see, it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to discern when something is happening that is not of the Spirit of God. And we need to do that in our own lives, in what people are saying to us, in the things we read. Is this really the Spirit of God? Is this truth? You know, the Holy Spirit, sometimes you don't know why, but the Holy Spirit just gives you that sense there's something wrong here. There's something that's not right. And when you have that sense, don't suppress it. Ask the Lord to show you, Lord, what is not right here? Because you have that spirit of discerning of spirits within you. Say, I have the spirit of the discerning of spirits within me. See, it's there within you. And all that is within you is there to be used whenever possible. Whenever necessary. He is the spirit who gives spiritual languages. Well, we're all fairly used to this and have a lot of speaking in tongues and singing in the spirit here. But say, I have the spirit of the speaking of tongues in me. See, if you have the Holy Spirit and you've never yet spoken in tongues, that's not because you can't, it's because you haven't. Because you have the Spirit who enables that speaking in tongues within you. And he is the spirit also of interpretation. Say, I have the spirit of interpretation within me. So even when you're praying in tongues, then the Holy Spirit can give you interpretation. Then the Holy Spirit can show you what it is that you are praying, what it is that the Holy Spirit is saying and speaking through you. He informs our minds of what is being said in the Spirit. He is the Spirit that is at one with the Father and the Son. In total submission, as we saw just now, to the Father and Son. Why? Well, John says in his first letter that our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. How do we live in fellowship? How do we share the life of the Father and the Son? Through the Holy Spirit. Say, the Spirit that makes me one with the Father and the Son is in me. Isn't this amazing? Yeah. He is the counselor. You know, there are only two counselors in Scripture. One is Jesus. The other is the other counselor exactly like him, the Holy Spirit. Say, the counselor is in me. Not that you can have a counseling ministry. There isn't one of those in the New Testament. But you can be a witness. And a witness has to answer questions. And when you answer a question, you give counsel. But it's not to be your counsel, it's his counsel. God will give you his counsel, whatever counsel you need, especially when you're in a situation where you don't know what to do, but he will also give that counsel through you. He will enable you to answer the probing questions of other people. He is your advocate. The advocate is the one who speaks on your behalf. Like a lawyer in court who is speaking for you, defending you or whatever. Well, he is the one who speaks on your behalf. He speaks on your behalf to heaven. He speaks on your behalf to others. He speaks on your behalf through you. Say, the advocate is within me. He is the instrument of God's provision. You see, the Father and the Son in heaven work through the Holy Spirit here on earth. That's why when you look at the book of Revelation, the Father is on the throne, the Son is on the throne, but the Holy Spirit is there before the throne. Why is that? Because the power and the life of the Holy Spirit is sent from the throne into our lives and into the lives of every believer. It's not time for him to be enthroned while he needs to be working in our lives. Hallelujah. So say, the Spirit of provision is in me. Because you see, when you pray and you need provision of any kind, the Spirit of God is the one who answers that. The Spirit of God who enables that provision. The Spirit is the one who releases that provision into your life. Hallelujah. He is the one who imparts eternal life. There is no eternal life without the Holy Spirit because he is the eternal Spirit of God. And eternal life is God's life. It's not this life going on and on and on. Isn't that great? I mean, you know, heaven will not be an eternal Sunday morning service. It'll be continuous worship before the throne of God, everything focused on him. But praise God, we won't need all the preaching that we need now because we will all be living in the fullness of the Spirit because there isn't any other way to live in heaven. Hallelujah. So say, the Spirit who imparts eternal life is in me. We're getting near the end now. But I mean, all this, there's no room, you see, to put it all up. And it's all in you. All these things are in you. Not will be, not should be, not could be, already are, if you have received the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit who guarantees our inheritance. You are a co-heir with Christ because the same Spirit that is in him is in you. And he is the one, the Scripture says, guarantees that inheritance. All we have to do, my beloved friends, is just to walk in the Spirit, to continue to depend upon the Spirit and not upon ourselves. So say, the Spirit of the guarantee of my inheritance is within me. He is the Spirit of glory. Jesus said that he has given, and he was praying, not for the disciples that he had when he was on earth, but for all those who would become disciples in future generations. And he said to the Father, the glory you have given to me, I have given to them. How do we given the glory of God? Through the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of glory. Say, the Spirit of glory is in me. What does that mean? It means God is going to be glorified in your life. It means people are going to see the glory of God in the way you love, in the things you do, in the way you serve, in the person that you are. Hallelujah. The Spirit of obedience. You see, because he is the Spirit of love, and those who love the Lord, obey the Lord, he is the Spirit. If you listen to what the Holy Spirit says, you will always obey. Because the Holy Spirit will never lead you into disobedience. The Holy Spirit will never lead you in anything that is not the will of God. He will only lead you into fulfilling the will of God. So say, the spirit of obedience is in me. So don't say I'm a rebel. Don't say I'm independent. Don't say I want my own way. You have the spirit of obedience in you. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Speak the truth of yourself over you. Not just this morning, because I'm encouraging you to do that. I don't see every lip moving every time, but some of you perhaps are so spiritual you don't need to say these things. I'm not as spiritual as you then, because I need to keep speaking them over my life. He is the spirit of deliverance. He not only discerns what is not right, but he is the God, the one living in you, through whom you can bring deliverance into the lives of other people. He has delivered you from everything that could oppress you, everything that could come against you. He is, you see, the spirit of healing. This is healing and deliverance are all together. I haven't got healing up on the list, but he is the spirit of healing. He is the spirit of deliverance. He is the spirit of victory. Yeah. That overcoming spirit. Say, the spirit of deliverance and healing is in me. So you don't say, oh, Lord, do you want to heal me? Where are you, Lord? Are you going to heal me? You can say, thank you, Lord. The spirit of healing is in me. Thank you, Lord. The spirit of deliverance is in me. Thank you that I have my healing within me. Praise God. He is the spirit of grace. Everything comes to us as a gift from God. You see, I give you my little bit of testimony at the beginning. None of that was possible without the grace of God. I know above everybody else, it was 100% the work of his grace. That if it was me in the natural, I would never have dared to do any of this stuff. But praise God. Get the spirit within you, and suddenly you are a new person. And you don't have to function as the old, fearful person, but as the new, liberated person. Because he's the spirit of freedom. See, I can keep thinking of further things that I haven't got on my list. Forgive me. It's not a full list. But he is the spirit of freedom. Amen. Say, the spirit of grace and freedom is in me. He's the spirit of mercy. Well, in his mercy, God has forgiven you. But what does he tell you? You must forgive others. Let me tell you, there are situations where the last thing in the world you want to do is to forgive someone. I mean, hit them first and then forgive them. That's what you feel like. Well, just a minute. You know, this would be just too easy to forgive them. Now I forgive you. I mean, if you did it your way, that's how you would do it. But the Holy Spirit says, no, I didn't thump you before you were forgiven, so you don't thump the other person before you forgive them. You forgive them as I forgive you. Is that all right? Say, the spirit of mercy is in me. Now you're going to love this next one. Here's the spirit of perfection. What does it say in Hebrews? That we have been made perfect already. Why? Because you have the spirit of perfection. It's wonderful that when God sees you, when God the Father looks upon you, he sees you in Christ and he sees the spirit of Christ in you. He sees what is good and perfect. Can he see the other stuff? Yes, but he chooses not to look on that. He chooses to look on the blood that covers the other stuff. And he looks on the Christ who is within you. Say, the spirit of perfection is in me. That means you will never tolerate sin in your life. The one who is born again, the scripture says, will not continue to sin. Will not. Doesn't say should not or could not, but will not. Why? Because if we're depending upon the Holy Spirit, that spirit of perfection. So when we do stuff, it's going to be done well. To the highest possible standard. Because it's Christ in us. Say again, the spirit of perfection is in me. Now, he is also the spirit of judgment. Now, this is where our confession has to be different. We have to remember that the spirit within us is the spirit of judgment. Now, what the scripture says about that is that we are able to judge all things. That means we're able to judge and assess spiritually the situations that we're in. But it does not mean we're there to judge people. Jesus says all judgment has been given to him by the Father. And we are not to judge, or we will be judged with the same judgment with which we judge others. So the spirit of judgment is given to us so we are able to assess what is good, what is right, what is of God, what is of the Spirit in every situation. But we're not given the spirit of judgment to judge others. But say, the spirit of judgment is in me. And of course, he is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is in you, God is in you. That's why, you know, there's not room, you see, to put up all these things. You've got two screens full of two columns. And this is not exhaustive. Probably exhausting, but it's not exhausting. And all this and everything else that the Holy Spirit is and has is in you. Now, you put this message together with a fortnight ago about the cross, about the gospel of salvation. And what we have is the essence of our life together as Christians. That we live the Word of God in the power of the Spirit of God. The Word and the Spirit working together. What have I described this morning? Revival as God understands it. Nothing less than the Holy Spirit being expressed in the way that God intends in the lives of his people. You see, in any Christian, you'll see something of the Holy Spirit. In any church, you might see several of these things of the Spirit. But what God intends is all these things to be expressed in all of our lives. That's revival. It's the Holy Spirit taking over in our lives. So we're not waiting for something to happen, to come upon us. Because all this, you have been telling me all morning, is already in you. So if all this is in you, revival is in you. And God, if we see the Spirit of God released in our lives in the way that he intends, we will live in revival for a generation. I said we will live in revival for a generation. Amen. So last of all, the Spirit is God's gift to you. He is God's gift. You could never do anything to deserve Him, to earn Him, to accomplish or achieve what only He can do. He's God's gift. He is the gift. In fact, really, He is the only gift. Because everything that you receive from God is somehow an aspect of the life of the Holy Spirit. He is the agency of God through whom all that God has is communicated to us and put into our lives. So, beloved, if you sometimes understand that you're a nobody and you feel that you can do nothing, you're in my club. But my club is filled with the Holy Spirit. And my club says, it doesn't matter how weak I am, nothing is impossible for the Lord. Even in weak nobodies like us. And praise God, when we do fail, He doesn't throw us out. He doesn't wash our hands of us and says, boy, Colin, you got it wrong there. He just brings us back to correction and on we go with Jesus. Hallelujah. What a God. I said, what a God. What a God. Come on, let's stand. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Begin to worship Him now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Come on, thank Him for the gift. Oh, come on, thank Him. All this is in you because the Spirit of God is in you. You don't sound thankful enough to me, I mean. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can you say to the Lord now, Lord, I realize it's not I, but Christ in me. Your Spirit, the Spirit of Christ living in me, the Spirit of Christ working through me. Thank you, Lord, I've got such an exciting life ahead of me. Thank you, Lord, that the best is still to come because You're teaching me to trust more and more and more in Your Spirit. And I give You glory. I give You honor. I give You praise. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Now the Spirit of God calls you to walk in the truth. What you have been speaking over your life is the truth this morning. All those things, they're the truth. Thank Him now that He's going to enable you to walk in the truth. Thank Him that He's going to enable the life of Christ to flow out of your life like rivers of living water. That's how Jesus described the activity of the Holy Spirit. Rivers flowing out of you. Rivers of living water. Praise You, Jesus. Bless You, Lord. Now, this has taken a little time. I realize as I look at my watch, it's taken a bit longer than I thought. But it's been worth it because you can't do this in installments. We've got to get the picture, the whole picture in one go and say, wow, God. Wow, 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 wow. Wow. What You have put in me. It's so wonderful. It's so glorious. It's so mighty. Praise God. We're going to break bread together. And you know, when we break bread, we set forth the cross, but it's also a celebration of what God has done for us. It's a celebration of what God has given us. It's a celebration of what God has put into us. Are you ready to celebrate with him? Yes. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that so much that on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave you thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, we're just so much in awe of you today. We're in awe of what you've done, that you've just called us nobodies and you put the great big somebody in us. Not to make us somebodies, but those who can serve that somebody with our weak, insignificant lives. But I thank you, Lord, that we can bear much fruit for your glory, that you will do the work in us, you will do the work through us. And as we receive these gifts, so we pray, Lord, as we take the bread, as we share the cup this morning, you will release afresh the life, the fullness, and the power of your Holy Spirit in every one of us. Lord, we're not just taking a little bit of bread and a sip of a cup now. We are expecting you to do something in our lives. We're not just looking for feelings and experiences, but we're expecting that as a result of receiving these gifts this morning, we are going to see your Spirit released through our lives in a greater way and a greater measure than we have ever seen before. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's praise God while we receive. Just start distributing. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, come on. This is a celebration time. It's not a little quiet, holy moment. This is a time of release. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.